Welcome in to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Meliotis here in our downtown studio at WGN Radio. And I am reunited with my guy, Jack Heinrich. For consecutive weeks, I was on the road doing Blackhawks Live. And so it's good to see Jack in person. Jack, what's going on, my dude?
It was nice to have you back. We had a good pre-show meeting.
We did.
The first time in like a month, so this will be the best show of the year.
Yes, it's it feels good to be back. We got a fun show today, and man, it has been fun to watch Blackhawks hockey lately. And even just now, we were talking to Colin McCarthy, who he came in to us. We were doing our little pre-show meeting, and Colin came in here. He's like, man, the Hawks are good, and they're fun to watch. And I said, I agree. And the amount of times that people have texted me or called me or have said it in passing, how fun it is to watch Blackhawks games this year. I agree. And I think early on, I know the Hawks started with an 0-2-1 record. And so if you weren't watching Blackhawks games out of the gate, it was probably like, same old Hawks. You know, the Hawks are just the same team as last year, but they are most certainly different. They're fun to watch. And now they've picked up, 7 out of a possible 8 points in their last 4 games, and they're above 500, and it has been fun to watch, Jack.
We're in the playoffs.
We're in the playoffs.
Right now.
Are we actually? I forgot to check.
We were at least yesterday.
All right. Let me double check this. I have the NHL.com website up, so I'm looking at, Blackhawks are currently in the number one wild card spot with a +4 goal differential too. So, all right. Clear your schedule for May and June. We're going on a deep run this year. Listen, I think what we wanted to see from Chicago this year was growth from the individual players, but also we wanted to see collective growth from the team. And who knows what it's going to manifest itself into the end of the season and what the final standings total is going to be for the Blackhawks at the end of the year. Even if they are among the bottom 5 teams when it's all said and done, I think if nothing else, the Hawks have been entertaining to watch. You're seeing a lot of growth from the younger players. Connor Bedard has taken a significant step forward. Frank Nazar looks like he's on another level than even what he finished with last year. Sam Rinzell has had a little bit of a quiet start to the year, and I thought he would really get going from the opening game. But I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to elevate his game as the season progresses, and we're going to see more of the player that we saw towards the end of last year. We've seen it in glimpses. Artem Leshnov has been kind of ups and down, but I've liked his game better ever since Chicago moved to 11-7. Wyatt Kaiser has been fantastic on defense. And how about the goaltending Chicago has gotten in Spencer Knight and Arvid Soderblom? So there are a lot of positive storylines developing in Blackhawks world outside of their current record right now with 8 points in 7 games.
Yeah, that's been, I think that TNT game really opened up the hockey world to them. Because I think, like you're saying, you just look at their record at the beginning of the year and they're like, they're not really playing that well. It's kind of like the same old thing. But they come out there and then they just dominate St. Louis like that. And then I did like that they were saying like, I think Nazar was saying it, or a few of them were like, we do remember that Winter Classic game. So like we wanted the... maybe that's a little more motivation for them, but just Nazar getting the TNT before and after, then Bedard was with them after. You've got Paul Bissonnette talking about them on Chicklets. I mean, they're on TNT, so it's like they're that late game. And I had the post game on when I was filling in for you, and it's that's all they're talking about was the Hawks, and so they got the young guys up. And it's something we were talking about for a while. It's like, they have all these draft picks, and you're kind of like, you don't really know them because they're not in North America, and now they're here, and some of them are up, and they're playing really well, and it gives you a lot of hope. And I think that win was big, and I like how quick they're learning, because they dropped an overtime game, Friday, and they come back and win an overtime game Sunday, kind of similar circumstances. So I don't know if it'll be this fun the whole year. You hope it is, but... it is a positive start, especially, and I think it shows Jeff Blashill's fingerprints all over the team early on.
For sure. Jeff Blashill has been incredible. I think there is a Jeff Blashill effect on this roster where there is a sense of confidence that these young players are playing with, and I think a big reason is because they are bought into what the coaching staff is preaching, but also there's this internal confidence within each other where towards the end of last year, guys like Connor Bedard, it felt like he was the only guy on the roster, at least at the start of last season, because it was so veteran heavy with Seth Jones and Taylor Hall and Pat Maroon and Alec Martinez, all these young veterans that were serving as stopgaps. And now at towards the end of last season, then you started to see guys like Frank Nazar and Sam Renzel and Artem Levshinov and Landon Slager graduate to the NHL. And it felt like it was starting to turn. The locker room was starting to become the young players' locker room, and it carried over into this year where you can sense that sense of confidence. I want to get to that Wednesday night game in St. Louis. I think we're going to look at that game. We're going to circle it like potentially years from now about how massive that game was, because the Hawks got off to an 0-2-1 start this season. And it's easy to preach like sticking with the process when the results are going your way. It's easy to say, all right, let's just trust the process. But when you're losing, so when the Hawks got off to an 0-2-1 start, when you're preaching the process, I'm sure naturally there's an instinct to say, oh man, are we the same team as last year? But then they pick up a big win against Utah on last Monday. But it's that St. Louis game on the road. It's on national TV. Division rival St. Louis had won 5 in a row against the Blackhawks leading into that game. They had the embarrassment on at Wrigley Field for the Winter Classic. And you mentioned Frank Nazar and Connor Bedard bringing that up in the postgame to TNT. They brought that up unprompted. They weren't asked about it. They said that was in the back of our minds because we did not like how we performed in that game. And did Chicago get favorable goaltending from St. Louis? Sure. The Lucas Reichel goal. I mean, I don't know how that goes in.
Got to take advantage.
Yeah. Ilya Mikheyev, that's the easiest goal he's going to score all season. Jordan Binnington, he comes into the game. I think it was Jason Dickinson that scored on him. Yep. I thought it was a softie as well. But sometimes you need those breaks to go your way. And it was such an offensive explosion. 7 different goal scorers. Lucas Reichel had 3 points. Connor Bedard had 3 assists. Alex Vlasic had 2 assists. Frank Nazar found the back of the net. Ryan Green scored his first NHL goal. There were so many positive contributions from that game that I felt like the narrative around Chicago started to change after that game, because it was on national TV, because you had Paul Bissonnette that was pumping them up in the post game show and saying, I'm all in on Connor Bedard this year. The world got to see Frank Nazar and what he brings to the table, him scoring that goal, then having that funny celly after he emerged from the bottom of the pile. And it's like, okay, you're starting to see Chicago has a lot of likable players on their roster too. And it's also been fun, especially during that game, the Wednesday night in St. Louis. The talk on social media was all about, man, are the Hawks fun to watch again? Are they nasty? Like that was the language that was being used in the hockey community. And so it's cool to see the Hawks get put back on the map as far as entertainment value. And I think over the course of the season, whether they go through some ups and downs as far as wins and losses, is it going to be pretty? And is it going to look like the stretch that the Hawks are currently on where it's 3-0-1 all the time? Probably not, but as long as you minimize the losing streaks where it's maybe only 2-3 in a row versus, you know, maybe the last couple of years, it was stretching into 6-7 games in a row, right? I think you want to ride the highs more and keep the lows at a minimum. And so it's been fun to watch, the Blackhawks. And last thing I'll say too, let's get to Connor Bedard and Frank Nazar. First, let's talk about their off-ice growing chemistry. So we did confirm that they are road roommates.
Yeah.
So that I sense that they were starting to grow closer off the ice. Like I was on the opening road trip for the Blackhawks, and it seemed like they were always together doing things. And I didn't know at the time that they were roommates on the road. So this all makes sense. But I think this is such a great relationship between the two of them, because I think they both bring out the best in each other, where Connor can be so serious, so determined, just lives and breathes hockey. And Frank is also ultra competitive, but he has this goofiness side to him too, where he doesn't take himself seriously. He's just a joy to be around inside the locker room. He's all like today after practice, he comes inside the locker room after practice, and he's just like singing a song as he walks in, and he's just like, oh, here comes Frank, you know. And so he just brings that joy and that light inside the room that I think has rubbed off on Bedard, to the point where Bedard looks so much more relaxed this year than he did in his first 2 years. And part of that is he's far more comfortable now in year three, knows what to expect. He's been around now. But I also think the Frank Nazar effect and Frank turning into a star, just like Connor Bedard, it has helped take some media attention away from Bedard too, where he doesn't have to be the guy that's, we want to talk to Bedard every time there's a road, you know, the Hawks are going on the road. Now, like I was in Boston, there was a Boston crew there that wanted to do a funny, video with Frank Nazar. So now Frank is getting some of that attention too. And I feel like it's taken some away from Connor Bedard. So I think I've seen it translate on the ice, but the growing friendship off the ice between Nazar and Bedard, I feel like they're both benefiting from it.
Yeah. You could just see their chemistry. I mean, Nazar's so marketable. Now you could see because he's all over the Hawks social media. I mean, the way he cuts his sandwich.
Hashtag Frank's way.
Yeah. Frank's way, get franked, all that stuff. I mean, even like when they were, I think they went to Union Station before the season, they had both Bedard and Nazar. And you can see how Nazar brings out the goofiness in Bedard. Because, you know, you, as you said, he's so serious. But like they brought it out. And even if it's those 6-7 jokes or, you know, I mean.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Jeez.
If you follow them on at the Hawks on TikTok, you really see like a lot of their personalities, especially with that cutting the PBJ sandwich thing. But and then it helps that on the ice that you see like on Wednesday, he gets that goal. He has the celebration while everyone's just like beating each other up. And then you start to see the other stuff going viral, like, oh, he does this and this. So like people are starting to see who he is. And then I think that's a good point where him being, I mean, they're both tied with 7 points, him at that level with Bedard, you could see how it does relax him a little bit. And, and I think it was either Steve or maybe it was you with John saying that it used to be, if you stop Connor Bedard, you're going to beat the Blackhawks. Well, now you have to worry about 91 too. Mm. So that helps too. And that's what you were hoping for. And he had a great, Nazar had a great summer with Team USA, and he's just kind of rolling right into the season. That's what you wanted to see.
You mentioned Bedard and Nazar are tied for the team lead with 7 points. That was our poll question, our Hawks click today. Through 7 games, Bedard and Nazar each have 7 points. Who will finish with more points by the end of the season? We had 72% say Connor Bedard, 28% said Frank Nazar. But the fact that it's even a discussion, I think, is more indicative of the elevation of Frank Nazar's game, knowing that Bedard has taken a significant step forward, it appears, through 7 games. I mean, he just looks like a different player. I mean, he had 9 shots on goal on Sunday.
Yeah.
No other Hawk had more than 3. I mean, he took the game over. And some of the toe drag shots that he had were just absolutely incredible.
Crazy.
And we were just talking about this before. We were talking about the stats that SportLogic had put out there after Wednesday's game against St. Louis. Connor Bedard, think about this. This was after Wednesday night's game in St. Louis. Connor Bedard, this year, among forwards, he ranks first in zone exits and zone entries among all NHL forwards. In puck battle wins, he's 8th with 15. Last year, he was a 189th among all NHL forwards in puck battle wins. Now he's 8th. And then stick checks, he's got 7. That's 13th among all NHL forwards. Last year, 190th. So the eye test is living up to the number. The numbers are backing up what we're seeing, essentially. And it's been a joy to watch, even in practice today. I mean, Connor just looked like he was flying. He's just skating with more confidence. One thing I have noticed about him is he is not staying out on the ice late after every single practice now. I think he's working smarter, working smarter, not necessarily longer. Last year he was, you know, that all the jokes, they had to take his sticks away because he just wouldn't come off the ice. And I just think his body was like starting to break down on him because over the course of an 82 game season, it's a grind. Mm. It's a demand. And he didn't have to deal with that his first year because he missed 14 games with the broken jaw. So, and when you're first year in the NHL, you're kind of just riding on adrenaline. When you have a summer to kind of prepare and then, you know, an 82 game season, I just think he was on the ice so much that this year, he was out there for a little bit, and then he came and, you know, was inside the locker room with some of the other guys, the veterans that came off the ice. So he wasn't out there like all, for hours at a time. And I think that's a benefit for Connor too, that he's picking his spots and making sure that his body is fresh for the games.
Yeah, I think that's a good tidbit there, because I remember going his rookie year when I was filling in for pre and post in the preseason, and it would be like when they had the two groups, and then like everybody would be watching him when his group was over because he was just on the other side and the whole other group's on the other rink practicing. Yeah. And he was just out there for so long. But I do like his, like you're saying, the numbers back up, his physicality. You don't want him getting in fights, but he's not afraid to kind of go back at someone. In the last few years, like maybe he would just ignore him, but now he's kind of like giving him a tap back or a shove or something. And that kind of goes back to his thing of, we're not taking anything for anyone. And then he's still got the big boys there to help defend him with those forwards. So it's been, that's been good to see too. The physicality, I guess the compete too, has been up for all around.
He had a different word than thing, but when we're not taking
it. Fine.
All right. We got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Speaking of Circa, Mike Palm from Circa, who we had on a couple weeks ago, he's going to join us next to talk some Blackhawks and NHL betting odds. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Meliotis here with Jack Heinrich. We are going to go to the phone lines now and bring in our guy, the VP of Operations for Circa, Mike Palm, who is going to be a regular occurrence on our show throughout this season. Mike, how are we doing today?
Hey, Charlie, how are you guys doing?
Oh, we're just clearing our schedule for May and June because the Hawks are going to be making a deep run this year, apparently. Through through 7 games, they find themselves in the first wild card spot in the Western Conference. And while we are half joking, we are not getting carried away here. It's been fun to watch the Blackhawks. I know the last time we spoke, we figured the Hawks were going to be near the bottom of the NHL in the standings, and that still might be the case. But it's been fun early on. What have you seen from over there? And can you pump up some Chicago fans? Give us some more excitement here.
Have to like what they've done on the road. Impressive victory over the Blues. I mean, you put up 8 goals in St. Louis. That's a pretty impressive feat. And then, a good low-scoring game last night. They beat Joel Quenneville on his return trip. So at least they look a little bit viable when you look at their odds in the market. Remember, we talked about them being 1,000 to 1 to win the cup and 500 to 1 to win the Western Conference. It's come down a little bit. They're 700 to 1 to win the cup and 220 to 1 to win the Western Conference. But it's very early in terms of movements in markets. Now, obviously, the Hurricanes have gotten off to a perfect start. They're out here in Las Vegas tonight against the Golden Knights. We've seen them now kind of take clear favoritism. There were a bunch of teams at 7 to 1. They're now down to 6 to 1. And then a few teams have drifted up in their odds, but it's so very, very early. It's tough to draw too many conclusions.
Let's get to it. I actually want to talk about what the vibe is like in Vegas right now. I think they're one of 4 teams that haven't had a regulation loss yet this season. The other one is Carolina, who I know is in town later tonight. So obviously we'll see if one of those falls in regulation. But with Mitch Marner, I know he got off to a great first game, had no points in the first two games, in the next two games, but he finally found the score sheet twice the other day. What are the vibes like in Vegas now that Mitch Marner is there to kind of help add another superstar to that group?
Yeah, it's certainly exciting. I'm a little concerned. You know, this team went from played really good defense with good goaltending, and like we say, it's early. I'm not sure how serious a cup contender they're going to be. I haven't been particularly impressed with the defense in front of whether it's Aiden Hill or Akira Schmidt, and Aiden Hill hasn't been particularly sharp early on. You know, I was one of the advocates that when they won the cup, you were never going to get more value if you would have moved Aiden Hill at that point. They decided to sign him, and I get it. Logan Thompson presented some issues with for the coaching staff in terms of let's just say dedication. So they decided to deal Thompson, and I get it. And he had a terrific year in with the Capitals last year, but I think that Golden Knights need to tighten it up. Obviously, Marner makes a big difference in terms of the chances that he creates for the other guys on his line. And maybe you're seeing a little bit of it with, it seems like the Maple Leafs are having a few locker room issues. I think that's kind of been overshadowed by the Blue Jays' deep run. Of course, they're playing in Game 7 of the ALCS tonight. But once the Toronto media starts focusing on the Maple Leafs, there's a few cracks there that I think we're going to hear about.
How much do you think the Alex Pietrangelo subtraction, obviously we know that he's dealing with the injury, it doesn't sound like he's going to play again, how the back-end issues might be? I mean, he was such a stalwart back there for them, and even when he was dealing with the injury last year, however, whatever percent that he was at, you still knew you could throw him out there for 25-plus minutes a night, and he would eat up both sides of the puck. How much are they missing his absence on the back end?
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge factor in being a team that can block a lot of shots and that can erase a lot of mistakes that you might have and turnovers. So, but they have to learn to play without him because they're going to be without him. So they have time to figure it out. But since it's a different style of play than we've used to be seeing here in probably the last 3 years, say.
Florida Panthers, the Hawks saw them on opening night, and boy, they look like a wagon, even without Alexander Barkov and Matthew Tkachuk. How have the odds swayed as we get our first look through seven games? I know they're sub 500 team right now. It doesn't feel like they're playing that way. They're undefeated at home, haven't won on the road yet, but it feels like Florida is, it looks like they haven't even skipped a beat, even without their two studs in Barkov and Tkachuk right now.
Well, it shows on the road so far. I'm just auto-playing against them after the first two road losses, and I'm going to do this probably until Tkachuk gets back. Maybe that's Christmas time.
Yep.
Just fade them when they're on the road. And if it goes badly, I can reassess. I always thought this team was, you know, has the attitude they just need to be in the playoffs. They don't care. I mean, they were the 3 seed out of their division last year. They don't care if they're the second wild card because they know they can win series as the road team. And you know, we heard about this with Tampa. And you know, you get to the finals 3 straight years, that's a lot of extra games on the bodies. And you had, of course, you had the tournament mid-year last year as well, the Four Nations. So it's a lot of minutes and a lot of extra hits. I always knew this team was going to try to conserve all their energy. You know, you talk about load management in the NBA, but you know, they just need to make the bracket. And so they'll find enough points to be in the tournament. And that's really all they need to do. Obviously when they get Tkachuk back, that'll be a big factor in the second half of the season. But I think that they just need to cruise along. I think the bigger story in South Florida is how bad the Lightning have been. Mm. I mean, they're in last place in the Eastern Conference, as we've talked tonight, Charlie.
Yeah, and the Hawks are coming up on the schedule Thursday night, so the Hawks are licking their chops, hoping that they continue to don't turn it around against Chicago. Chicago's going in there, obviously, on a high, having gone 3-0-1. Do you attribute anything to it? I know Andre Vasilevsky missed all of training camp with an injury, so I don't know how much he doesn't feel 100% or he's kind of getting back up to speed, but they just feel like they're out of sync right now.
Yeah, I had some friends of mine that are pro bettors that really specialize in hockey telling me, watch Vasilevsky, right? He didn't have a preseason, and then when he played the last game, he gave up like 7 goals or whatever in their final game. And then he was really tough early on too. I don't know if the window is closed on him as a top goaltender, but yeah, you know, I thought they were going to be a dead over team because of that to start out with, but they've played 3 unders in a row now, with the Caps, the Red Wings, and then the Blue Jackets. So, maybe we were overacting a little bit to Vasilevsky, but they haven't generated much offense and they haven't been the stalwart we've known. I know I've talked a lot about how can Paul Maurice not be a part of the Canadian Olympic team. He wasn't a part of the Four Nations. I know Cooper and him and really dislike each other, but now your Olympic coach heading into Italy in February is ahead of the last place team in the Eastern Conference. So I think that's a fascinating dynamic, and not enough media and hockey really talk about that.
All right, last one for you. What is there a potential, I don't know, I don't want to say dark horse, like a sneaky good team that could potentially we see in the Eastern or Western Conference final that you're like, oh, I didn't see that coming. The one team that jumps out to me that I think could be sneaky good this year are the New Jersey Devils. And I know last year things went totally sideways for them because they dealt with a lot of injuries. The year prior, it felt like they played their way onto the map. But I think they're due for a really big bounce back. They've gotten off to a fantastic start, 4-1. But I wouldn't be surprised if New Jersey gives a lot of teams fits this year.
I've got a preseason ticket, Avalanche over Devils in the final at 90-1. So I hope you're right about that. Well, people forget that they were decimated by injury. They were non-competitive against the Hurricanes, but they didn't have their team.
Right.
They didn't have their team the last month of the season. And so I think you could excuse the way they finished the year last year. And I thought that they would be right there in the Metropolitan Division. Obviously the Rangers have had all kinds of struggles. They can't score goals. And so, you know, they'll be right there with Carolina. And I think that they'd be able to give Carolina a much better battle if they, let's say they meet up in a Metro final in the playoffs in the second round.
Boy, Colorado, New Jersey would be very entertaining to watch. Those are two speedy teams, run and gun. I would sign up for that, Mike.
I thought there was a chance that, that Crosby would end up with the Avs. If Pittsburgh decided to deal him, I thought, Colorado would be the team that would go out there. So I had that in the back of my mind when I bet that ticket and I bet some Avs futures, but it would be a highly entertaining final.
All right. It's still early. We'll circle back down the road. And as we get closer to the trade deadline, we'll ask you about Sidney Crosby's next team odds. If the chatter starts to pick up as we get closer to February.
All right, Charlie. Great talking to you again.
All right. Great. Thanks for doing this, Mike. We'll talk down the road.
Bye-bye.
All right. That is Mike Palm from Circa. We always appreciate his insight on the current landscape of the betting odds, the Blackhawks, and we're going to have him on down the road. Back here on Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich. Earlier today, Pat and I recorded a Blackhawks Breakaway podcast on CHSN that was sponsored by Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. And Pat and I got a little carried away, at least in my mind. I told Pat on the podcast on Sunday night after the game yesterday, I was driving home and I was thinking to myself, I let my mind wander a little bit to see. I'm like, okay, Hawks are sitting in a playoff spot. They look great. They've been in every single game so far. The one regulation loss they had that I didn't think was that they had a real chance of winning was the season opener against Florida, and Florida needed all 60 minutes to beat them. And I was thinking to myself, could the Hawks be this year's Montreal Canadiens, where last year Montreal kind of burst onto the scene, made the playoffs, and it was like, whoa, we didn't see that coming. Like they were a year ahead of schedule. And then I had to remind myself that I think I'm a year away from thinking about that, because I was digging into the numbers. So Montreal last year, they made the playoffs at 91 points. The previous year, they had 76 points. So that was a 15-point increase. Prior to that, they had 68 points. So they had an 8-point increase, then a 15-point increase. So if you rewind 2 years ago, the Hawks had 52. That was the year they landed Connor Bedard. Then it was 60, or that was the year Connor Bedard's rookie year. Then last year, they had 61. So it was a 9-point increase. So I was thinking, they might be on path for the Montreal Canadiens, where they might be in the 60 or 76 point range this year, which would be a 15-point increase. And then maybe next year, the Hawks could potentially be the Montreal Canadiens, where they burst onto the scene. I digress, but you can watch the full episode, on the CHSN Blackhawks Breakaway podcast. But it was fun that Pat and I were able to kind of let our minds get carried away just for a little bit after a hot start for Chicago. Is that okay that we did that, Jack?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, the vibes are good. You kind of got to go with it, right?
Vibes are high.
That's what I think. So you're starting to see the future. So people get excited, but you're probably right. That'd be a monster improvement if they got into the 90s, which would be cool, but not likely. So hopefully it's soon. Like you said, next year.
I think if we got to Thanksgiving and the Hawks are still like hovering around it, I'd be like, you know what?
Yeah.
This could be real. This could be real.
Where you assess the team. So yeah. American Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. All right. Before we wrap up the show, we got to do a prospects update, and we got to highlight our guy, Jack. Nick Lardis has been unbelievable for the Rockford Ice Hogs, who, by the way, Rockford had a 4-0 start prior to their loss yesterday to the Chicago Wolves. And it was one of the best starts that they've had in franchise history. So Rockford's off to a fantastic start, but so is Nick Lardis. He had a 4-point game yesterday. All four of his points came in the second period. And if you pull up the AHL stats, Jack, you will see one guy up there that is the league leader in AHL points. That is one only, Nick Lardis. He's got 2 goals, 6 assists in 5 games, and he has a +7 rating. So how about that? Lardis is picking up where he left off last year in Brantford.
And I think he had a monster game, I think, Saturday against the Wolves or something like that. And
oh, so that was the four-point game.
I think so.
Okay.
Which one of the, it was one of them over the weekend. But yeah, I mean, we were all wondering how he would look transitioning over to the AHL, and being at the top's pretty good. By the player of the week too, right? So, yep. I mean, Oliver Moore kind of started it off in the first few games. I think he had 2 goals by himself on Friday, and then Nick Lardis kept it rolling. So you're seeing those two at the top of the points in the AHL. That's pretty good. That's what you want to see.
Well, Oliver Moore is second in the AHL in goals.
Yep.
So he's got 4, and I think one of them was an overtime winner.
Yep.
So yes, and if you're looking at the AHL stats right now, it's number one, Nick Lardis. And then tied for second is Brett Cini, who's the captain for the Ice Hogs. Mm-hmm. He has 7. And then right under him with 6, Oliver Moore.
There
so
you go.
You feel the excitement in Chicago where you see the growth of Bedard and Nazar and Renzel and Spencer Knight and all these players. And then you're like, oh yeah. And then there are these other guys coming like Nick Lardis and Oliver Moore. And we haven't even gotten to guys like Anton Frandell and Roman Kantsarov that are overseas performing very well.
Yeah, and playing good too.
I mean, Frandell has been fantastic in Sweden, over in the Swedish Hockey League, which is the upper tier, the highest tier league in Sweden. And for him to be doing what he's doing, playing more in a top six role, has been awesome. So the excitement around Chicago's rebuild is growing both at the NHL level and the prospects level. So great to see the Blackhawks thriving, but also guys like Nick Lardis and Oliver Moore thriving as well. That's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Thanks for being with us. Our next show is Monday, October 27th at 7 p.m. We'll talk to you then. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.